Galatians chapter number 9. And all those that you have, if you haven't been like the last week, a week before, all this is ongoing. So it's too hard for me to go back and explain. But these things are leading. A lot of these chapters are leading into the next one. You could get the look online. You can listen to them. But we've been doing our study in Revelations. And it takes, as you can see now, it takes some time. It really does. So, but we're making some headway. I'm going to try to get through the 9th chapter tonight and do chapter 10 next Thursday if we can. So let's see how many verses we can get through. Now, we've been talking about dealing with the trumpets. So we dealt with the seals already. And we got to the 6th seal. And we knew that there was something, definitely a change in the seal. We can't say that the 6th seal was open yet in Revelations because we never seen any type of devastation like that. So for some reason, what John was seeing when the seal was open was something that was going to be a future event. So the 6th seal represented a future event. Then the 7th seal, so he sees it open, he sees what's going to happen. Then he sees the 7th seal open, which opens the 7 trumpets. So the opening of the 7th seal opens the 7 trumpets. And we talked about where the church is going to be in all this. There's a lot of different ideas. You know, we could go through it. There are some who believe in premillennium, mid, post. So there's all sorts of different ideas out there on what and how people take those different scriptures and angle them to decide whatever it is they're going to believe or speak on. What we've been doing is just looking at the scriptures plain, just lay them out there and then let the scripture tell us what it's going to be. And so as we can tell, the church ain't left yet. Because it says that the trumpet, the last trumpet's going to sound, then the dead in Christ is going to rise. So if it's the last trumpet, and we're not to the 7th trumpet yet, we know that the last one's number 7. Well, they got all this stuff going on, this devastation and trouble and problems. And so what I believe has happened over the years is the church got to a position where when we got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, we figured, you know what? We're too brand new and too good to go through all that stuff. So we got to make up, we got to find something in there that's going to get us out of here. And so what we find is there's some passages that you people have taken and they've built an entire doctrine on a passage in Thessalonians. One section. But we have nothing else to support that. And somehow in Thessalonians there's going to be this secret taken away of the church. But we don't see that supported in the scripture. So what we're doing is we're not going to sigh. We're just laying out the scripture. And I told you this. We teach this. And this is not something that is complete. It's ongoing. I want you to study the Bible. I want you to come back. I want us to talk about it. I want us to look at the scripture. But when we look at the scripture, as we've been looking at it Thursday after Thursday, I think there's some important issues here that we have to consider. We really do. And so this is one of them. Well, when we got on the trumpets, remember we talked about, we gave an example. It's like you're in a kayak and you're in Red Pass and it's real calm. And everybody knows Red Pass. You're on side of the road and you just go on, it's calm. There's no waves. And that's kind of how we've been, you know. And then all of a sudden you got out the pass and you got into the Gulf and it was a little bouncy. And so you see Revelations do that. It's calm and then all of a sudden it gets a little rougher. And then a storm brews up and you're in the kayak and it's really tossing and spinning. That's how it goes. And then the trumpet's going to sound, the last one, and the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King of Kings, going to return. And I think if you look at it like that, let the scripture say what it says, it's going to be a bigger shock to Satan and all his cohorts and all the empires that are going to be set up and they're going to, than it would be if it's just they wake up and everybody's gone. Their clothes is in a neat little pile. It's going to be a way bigger shock when Jesus returns and Babylon is set up and they're ruling and he says, hey, it's not going to happen. And then there's going to be a tremendous... Let me just tell you, even though Jesus returns, they're not going to lay down their weapons and say, okay, we give. It's going to be a fight, and he's going to be ready for the fight. He's going to be ready to go. So that's the exciting part to me. When I read it, that's how I see it. That keeps me coming. That keeps me pressing in. That keeps me realizing that there's a king who's going to rule in his kingdom, and that time's going to come. And Revelation just shows us. But this is what people said. Well, I don't understand that thing. We're going to stay away from it. So there's no teaching on it. And then there's some who will pick and choose different parts of it and teach on that and forget about the rest. What we said here is, let's just go verse by verse, and we're going to draw everything we can out of those verses and then come back and revisit it again later. We're not going to get it all in one setting, I can tell you that. But it's some good stuff. So go to 9, chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9, we're with the fifth trumpet. The fifth trumpet. And just bear with me, we're here. Okay? But are we protected? Yes. There's a certain protection that we have being God's people. That's what's so awesome. Let me ask you something. When the plagues were being brought against Egypt, were the children of Israel there? Were they protected? Yes. Can God protect his people? Yes, he can. Remember we talked about the 144,000 who were sealed? But he had to pick those, remember? How did he pick them? What one good, amazing character that still blows my mind every time I talk about it did God use, one of God's amazing attributes that he used to select 144,000? Can somebody tell me from my review? Starts with an M. Mercy. Mercy. If he didn't have mercy on them, he wouldn't have picked any of them. But mercy, he selected 12,000 from the tribes. You remember that? We talked about the 12,000 from each tribe, and he got 144,000. And notice that of all the times he picked 144,000, this particular name mentioned here, of 18 other mentionings, that's not an exact match. So I would say that's God doing God's thing, what God does. So he left out some that are previously mentioned in the Old Testament. So if we read, if I say name the 12 tribes and you name them from the Old Testament in 18 different places, they won't match the one that he picked in Revelations. To me, that says something. That says God is his mercy. There were those who were fooling around and playing and allowing this idolatrous stuff to come in, and God, they didn't make it in the pick. And God can pick who he wants. Why can he pick who he wants? Because he's God. Remember that. He's God. So this is so important. So let's look at it. Revelations chapter number 9, and we're going to go through this a few at a time, but we're going to read through it and then back out and then go through it again, okay? Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. And out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and the power was given to them as the scorpion of the earth have power. They were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. Remember, we talked about this last week, for 5 months. So we got a time now You very rarely see that as we're going through the study, but in this particular trumpet, we know that we have a 5-month period. Now, you got to understand, how significant is 5 months? Well, it's very significant when we're dealing with a limited time. We're in a very limited time frame of 3.5 years. So 5 months is very significant. Very significant. So that's why I would think, I'm not sure about this. There's a lot of stuff I'm not sure about. But you remember how the first 4 seals, and I said 5. If you listen to the CD, you'll hear me say 5 seals. And I want to correct that. The first 4 seals open simultaneous. Remember we talked about that. I think they were open simultaneous. That could be what's going to happen because we're dealing with a short period of time with the trumpets. That could be what's going to happen, that we're going to, it's not going to be one, because if you look at, if you got all these trumpets and you only got a short period of time, some of these are going to have to be running together. So I want you to think about it in that those frames. So the first trumpet, second trumpet, third, they could open up simultaneous. So while 1, 2, 3, and 4 is open, 5 could be opening with this 5-month period. So just keep that in consideration. So let me tell you, remember he said the one who hears this, reads this, is going to be blessed. Right? That's what he says in the beginning. We go back to the beginning. He says, if you're with the one who, remember we said there's some very important things you got to do. This is a great test question for everybody. You got to, I'll say the first one and y'all going to finish it. You ready? You got to hear it. Read it first. I did it wrong. You got to read it. Hear it. And heed it. Those 3 things. So you got to read it, hear it, and heed it. So these are important things that we have to understand. Now, for 5 months, so let me finish reading and we'll come back. Verse number 5, and they were not permitted to kill anyone but to torment for 5 months, and their torment was like the torment of scorpions when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, and death will flee from them. The appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and on their head appeared to be crowns like gold, and their faces were like the face of men. And I want you to understand, I'll cover this later, but while I'm on this point, remember when you see the word like in Revelations, you got to take that in consideration, okay? Because you'll start reading real fast, you won't even see like. And so you'll say, boy, this is going to be some mean-looking creatures. He said it's like that. So very important to understand that when you're reading it. So you don't get caught in the picture when you're reading Revelation. You can get trapped in the picture and lose the meaning a lot of times. And we don't want to do that as we're studying it. Their hair was like the hair of a woman, their teeth like the teeth of lions. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots and many horses rushing to battle. They have tails like scorpions and stings, and in their tail is their power to hurt men for 5 months. They have a king over them. Notice that. They have a king over them. So they're going to be led by a ruler. A ruler. The angel of the abyss. So we know who it is. The angel of the abyss. So how did the angel get out of the abyss? Remember we talked about that early on? What happened? They unlocked the abyss. And there was a release. The name in the Hebrew is Abaddon. In the Greek, he has the name Apollyon. And the first woe is past. Behold, 2 woes are still coming after these things. And then I kind of stopped there. Last Thursday, I said we'd take up the rest of this. And so let me just go. This is part of our bringing everything back together. Because when you stop And to start again, it's difficult for everybody to grab hold to what. So let's go through Revelations 9:1. I'm going to go through these slides fairly quick. You won't be able to write them down. But you can get some of the verses. They'll be online. You can look at them there. Revelations 9:1, the star. Here signifies an angel. All right, remember we said stars signify angels? We see that all through Scripture. So this is not, we're not pushing to get this interpretation. We know when he says a star fell, he's not talking about a literal star out there. But they represent angels. We see it all through Scripture. I think I'm pretty safe in teaching that he's signifying that was an angel. From the bottomless pit comes the locust, and in 11 and 7 and 7, 8, the beast comes out of the abyss. And we're going to get on that. And we'll talk about this quite a bit as we're going through the rest of the study. So you'll see that, okay? So when we say star, we want you to remember he's talking about an angel, okay? Now, I want to also tell you, when I use the word angel or star here, I'm not talking about always good angels. Some angels have been, God has positioned to do evil. And we'll see that. That if it's locked in a pit, it can't be good. What you're locking up the good angels for? Then he releases them so they can do their evil. And that's what's going to happen. So let me tell you, if he's releasing some that's been locked up, meaning that what do we do with people who are real bad today? Lock them up, right? And so if you release everybody who was evil in the world at the same time, I'm thinking we'd have some problems on our hand, right? Well, that's exactly what's about to happen here. When this trumpet sounds, the fifth trumpet, this is going to create bigger problems than we already have. And we already got plenty of problems. But here's the thing. If it starts tomorrow, the church shouldn't be operating in fear and all of that. It's what it takes faith for. Faith all the way. He who endures to or through the end is going to be saved. So it's going to take some faith to get through this. You have to trust God. You know, people can trust God now by choice. Well, I guess I'll trust God. No, you're going to trust God here, or you're going to be overrun by all this stuff. So this is, let me tell you, this stuff is going to weed out the fake. The can't make their mind up group. The wishy-washy group, everybody's going to get weeded out during this time. So I can't understand how is it that for whatever reason, wham, you close your eyes and we're gone, and all this hell that's going to be happening on the earth is going to be up to some. What is it going to be hell for? And if he talks about there's some that's going to make it through this. These are those who made it through the great tribulation. Who are those? Let me tell you who that is. That'd be you and I. That's us getting through that because we trust God. We don't give in to fear. We're not giving in to failure. We're going to have faith and trust God through it all, no matter what we go through, and we're going to see the end. This is what's so exciting about it to me. Man, there was a time you don't really want to read Revelations. Everybody's fearful, you know. And then they had you was getting out of here before the trouble started. People didn't even like waiting for the trouble to start. It was, that's why songs came out like, it'll soon be done with troubles and trials. See? Songs have come out, they're birthed because of people's disappointment of what is happening at the time, because nobody wants to read past to see the future is incredible. See, when I read this, I'm like, boy, I just want to live. I want to live because I want to be here. I want to be able to stand and know that I stood for God, no matter what happens. You think about those guys who were martyred. Those were real men. They were real women who when they said they had faith in God, they had faith in God. And there were thousands of them that went through stuff. And what about us? If there was a secret rapture and it happened tomorrow, it would be just a slap in the face to all those people who've been through it. If the church today ain't tested, and it ain't tested. It's so squirrely and up and down. And if you don't like it here, you go over there. If you don't like it there, you go over there. It's a shame that we call ourselves believers and act that way. I'm talking about people went through some stuff. Well, he says when he blows these trumpets, people are going to realize. See, when the church, the real church, though, when the trumpet, fifth trumpet blows, we're going to go, oh, man. You understand? That's what we're going to be doing. Do you understand? Doesn't that excite you? This other stuff's not exciting. What excitement is in the stuff? Like, okay, right when it, you know, God's been building you, your character, your likeness to Christ, the strength by the Holy Spirit has been just empowering you. You're growing stronger in God. You're growing stronger in the grace that has been bestowed on you, and all of a sudden He takes you away. There ain't no fun in that. Jesus grew and He got stronger and all that stuff, and they didn't just take Him away. He was crucified. He went through something. And let me tell you, that ought to be a type for the church. So you and I understand there are going to be some things we're going to go through. But if it's worth it, you know, I'm so tired of people talk about church this and church that. Is it really worth it to you? Are you ready to sell out and give it all up? You know, we have these altar calls. Well, who's here? Is ready to sell it out? And, you know, you get people to come down. They ain't no more willing to sell nothing out than anything. It's a moment. It's a moment created. And, everybody's going to, I want people to know it. And how many people has been down and just because somebody's watching them or looking at them? Forget all that. Where you going to be Thursday night? Where you at Sunday morning? What you going to do when everything else is falling around you and you're going to stand up and say, I'm going to serve God? That's what God is looking for. How many want to spread the gospel? And that's important. So these are valuable principles that we have to understand. You remember in Luke 8, the demons did not want to go into the abyss. Remember we talked about that a little bit? They didn't want to go into the abyss because it's a place of incarceration. Guess where Satan's headed? He's going to be bound in the abyss for 1,000 years. It's a place of incarceration. It ain't a fun place. The demons, you know, you can't, you unless you have a knowledge of something, of how bad it is, you won't want to not go there. I don't know what example I could give you, but there's been guys, Brother Troy can vouch for this, there's been guys that's never been out on the open water before. So they don't know that when it's rough, it's not as fun as when you say, hey, we're going boating. You know, boating. I like boating. Boating's fun. I want to go boating. I love the boat. We always go in the lake. You know, got a canoe and it's fun. And, you know, you tell them, no, we're going boating. Oh, I love boating. Then you come out of South Pass and the waves are just like that. And you keep going. And all of a sudden you stop by a rig and they go, I don't like boating. Boating's not fun. You see? But I guarantee you, if you did it another time, same crew, hey, we're going out of South Pass, they go, not me. I ain't going. That's the reason the demon says, don't put us in the abyss. We don't want to go there. You see, they had to have an experience to not want to be there. They had to know that. Jesus was, and so they knew. He's begging with him, don't send us to the abyss. Because that's a place of incarceration, meaning everything that we can do to the human race, we won't be able to do as long as we're locked in there. And there's some locked in the abyss right now. But they won't be released. Remember he said a release would be like a puff of smoke. And here they come. So I want you to realize that. Stuff's already been positioned for this event to happen. It's a position to happen. And so we pick up those little things when we're studying, because I always wonder, why? What are they afraid of going to the abyss? They're demons. They'd like be going home, you know? Right? That's what I always thought. I'm growing up, I'm like, what is it? No, they don't want to go to the place of incarceration because they ain't going home. They're not going to some vacation club. When Jesus sent them to the abyss, they're in trouble, and they knew that. So they went into the swines, and what the swines did, run off the cliff because they didn't want them. So these are, I think, just some little extra reading things that we did. 1 Peter 3, 18 through 20, 2 Peter 2, 4, and Jude 6. The spirits from the time of Noah are in a place of incarceration. Sometimes, or let me say most of the time, confused with Sheol. Constantly, it's like they're intertwined. Now, when the demons say they're going to go to the place of incarceration or the abyss, he's not speaking of Sheol. He's not speaking of the grave. He's not sending them to the grave. So we need to do some study there. So once you, if you didn't write these down, write these down real quick. I want everybody to look at these and do some study in there. 1 Peter 3, 18 through 20, 2 Peter 2, 4, Jude chapter, verse 6. The spirits from the time of Noah are in a place of incarceration. Why? They haven't been dealt with yet. Remember, things are referred to as a time. There'll be a time. It'll be like the times of Noah. You notice that when you're reading? He said, be a time like the time of Noah. Now, Noah was so bad. I want you to kind of get your mind wrapped around. Noah was so bad that God did what? He destroyed the world. The known world at that time, he destroyed every living thing except for what was in the ark. 8 human beings. And then the animals that he picked. That's how bad it was. God's creation. The thing God worked so hard to put together, he destroyed that. So there's spirits from the time of Noah are in a place of incarceration. And we know that spirits, angels, or demons, whatever it is, you'll see that from time to time, which pops up those questions. You remember there was one section there where the sons of God took the daughters of men. And what happened? There was a breed of humans, species, that was mutant. You see that in Scripture. That's what we're dealing with here. Okay? So I want you to understand, we're not talking about David. We're not talking about David and Abraham and those guys here. We're talking about you say, can God do that? Well, why can't he? Let me ask you, could God incarcerate somebody and deal with them at a later time? Well, you know, we may get stumped when we're studying Scripture, but when we study it all the way through, and then we say, oh, yeah, he's going to do it right here. And a matter of fact, he was going to do it with the demons. Jesus had the authority to put them in the abyss. And here he's going to put Satan. And we know they were in the abyss because he opened it up. And here at this fifth trumpet, we know that the abyss was open. You understand? So we see that God has a place that is not talked about a whole lot in the Scripture. It's not because we want to merge them all together. What's the three things that I think is merged together that creates a lot of problems when you study in the Scripture? The grave, hell, and the abyss. And if you study the Scripture, you'll see that we're talking about three distinct, separate things. But King James Version, he messes with that a lot. He mingles them all together. And that can create problems. So when it should be interpreted grave, it interpreted hell. Right? Have you ever seen that? If you look at any different translation, you'll see that. That can create problems in your studying when you're trying to understand something. Because you won't know if people went to hell or died. Because if you think they went to hell, then they went immediately to hell without being judged. Do you understand it? Let me ask you this question. The people in the time of Noah, When God had to say, okay, everything's evil. Everything's in trouble. We had an incident in Babel. You remember the Tower of Babel? But he didn't destroy. He didn't have to destroy. All he had to do was scatter. He scattered and confound their language. But in Noah's time, he destroyed. Do you understand? He destroyed the animals, the plant. He destroyed it. Do you understand? 8 people on a boat with the animals that was put on there. Do you understand that? So can God, can he do that whenever he wants? Absolutely. But he promised he wouldn't do it again after that time. But did it stop sin? Did that fix sin? No, the sin was still in the 8 people on the boat. It was still there. It was all about a relationship. He made a covenant called the Noah covenant. He made a covenant with Noah to do certain things. But things changed really quick after that. And so we see some of this, this stuff happening. Revelations 20 verse 1 through 3, Satan's future incarceration is in the abyss for 1,000 years. God has the key to this place, so it is under his control. Would you say that's a correct statement? The abyss is under God's control? Yeah, look, if you got the key, and there ain't no other key, and nobody else got the key, but you got the key, I think that's in your control, right? So it's in God's control. It is not the place of punishment that is described as the lake of fire in chapter 20. It's not that place. But those things got, they all get twisted together, kind of mingled up. It's a different place. The lake of fire is where Satan's going to be taken out of the abyss and thrown into the lake of fire. If they're the same, just leave him there. He's already in it. So they're different. The lake of fire is different. And now I want to tell you, the lake of fire is if you had to use the word hell, it would be better to use it toward lake of fire than anything else, which is Gehenna, right? Because there was a place where the fire constantly burned. It was where they burned bodies and trash and debris. It was like an incinerator. It was literally a real place. That's where the word comes from. And so we see that throughout Scripture. So just keep that in mind as you go through your study. The sealed ones are protected. The sealed ones are protected. Now let me read just the... And I'm just showing you some of these things. I'm going to start back on the sixth trumpet in just a little bit. But the sealed ones are protected, just as they were with the plagues in Exodus. God's faithful are exempt from this torment. And so these are verses of Scripture that I want you to see. The sealed ones are protected. So I know there's a lot of stuff going to be going on, but the sealed ones are going to be protected. Are we going to be, what's going to be an indication that we're going to be protected? We're going to have the seal of God. All right? We know the 144,000 is going to have a seal of God. Right? But they're Jews. Remember, they're biological descendants of Abraham. We're not. Does that exclude us? No. We're grafted in. But he's going to protect 144,000. Jews, biological descendants. So the people going around, there's a group, Jehovah's Witness, go around and said there's only going to be 144,000. Well, they're crazy. Yeah, there'll only be 144,000 Jews. But there are going to be a lot more people than 144,000 sealed by the seal of God. How many understand that? And we're talking millions and billions of faithful people. A lot of people. And still, they're going to be they're not going to be the majority. That just lets you know how many people are going to be anti-God, go against God. Revelation 6:9-6. So we did that. He will not permit anyone to be tormented. They will not permit it to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. And then verse 6, in those days men will seek death but will not find it, and they will long to die, and death flees from them. The same was stated with the sixth seal, which is why I think it to be an introductory view of the whole that is now described in detail. So here's my part right here, the fifth seal in this part. Remember the sixth seal? We put a pause, right? So he opens the fifth seal and he sees the slain. So we know he's seeing a picture. It's not an event. It's not an it's not something, but it's coming. So you remember I said if you go, I remember we was in Michigan, all right? And I was there with Brother Brian, and we went to Mackinac Island. Remember that? And he said, you look, see over there? That's Canada. And it was just right there. And then, but I was standing, I was here. So I was seeing things close and far, and it was all going on at the same time. That's how John views in Revelations, I believe is. He sees things that are near and afar, and it's all going on at the same time. Doesn't mean it's going on in the chronological order. You understand? It's just how he's seen it. So when you study Revelations, if you don't keep that in mind, you'll think that these things happen exactly in the sequence as they go. So when you get to the sixth seal, it can really throw you off because you don't realize that there's got to be a pause right there. I think in the fifth trumpet, is the sixth seal was the introduction to the fifth trumpet, that thing happening. Because nothing has to stop it. Listen, if we're in the fifth trumpet and these things are happening, can the sixth seal, is it resembling to the sixth seal, what he says? We see that. We see that merging, that these things are going to start to happen because it's going to get rough here in a minute. So we're going to see these major disasters happening. Can you imagine that happening around the world? Major disasters, and you saying, hey, I know about this. I read about this. I studied this out. I've seen this happen. I'm excited. Woo! God is coming. He's coming. And you can go. Your message is going to be so much louder. You're going to be more determined to witness than you've ever been. You're going to say, I'm telling you. I read. Here it is. And you're going to be well-versed on. You talk about people's going to get very. They're going to know that stuff. They're going to be reading it every day, every day, every day. Because there's stuff happening. You can say, this is that. This is that. What an incredible time that's going to be. So today we talk about mercy killings for those who are suffering. In that day, there will be none. No mercy killings. They're going to say, I want to die. God's going to say, nobody's dying right now. So there's going to be a pause. Can God do that? Yes, he can. There's going to be a pause where people who want to die won't die. Because they ain't getting out of it. Is the sealed ones going to want to die? No, no. We're going to be shouting. We're going to be saying, God is so amazing. So glad to be a believer. Revelation 7:9-7. And the appearance of locusts was like horses prepared for battle. So let me look at this part. Their appearance is horrible, with nothing in history to compare. First thing, locusts like horses prepared for battle. Head appears to be crowns like gold. Faces were like the face of men. Hair like women. Teeth were like the teeth of lions. Can you get a picture of that? Breastplate like breastplates of iron. The sounds of their wings was like the sounds of chariots of many horses rushing to battle. Tails like scorpions and stings. So this is, whoo, it's going to be something. Now there's so many different ideas, you know, we could try to put in our mind, you know, think of what could this be and all that. You know, rather than trying to spend that time doing that, I can only tell you, it's going to be something. And they're not going to be nice to look at. And they're going to be everything's going to be scary about them. It's going to be horrible. Now, I want you to get this picture. Did anybody ever go YouTube that locust stuff I told you about on YouTube? Locusts don't travel in billions. They travel in trillions. It's a phenomenon. Of the insect world, locusts travel in trillions. Locusts could pick up and move in a cloud that you can't even see the sun through them. If they get up and move in a cloud, the sun is blacked out. And when they land in green vegetation and they get back up again, there's not a piece left. They can do it overnight. A beautiful green field, acres and acres and acres. They can land in it and the next morning raise up, black the sun out again, and it's all gone, like it never existed. And he said for 5 months, 5 months, the locusts are going to come out the abyss. And they're going to be horrible. Now, we're talking about locusts, just these little bugs, about this long, who eat grass. These are going to be told, don't touch the grass. Because the grass already took a licking. Remember that, right? Remember we talked about that in the first few trumpets? The grass, one-third of the grass had already taken a... they're not going to be sent to eat grass. They're going to be sent to torment men. They're going to torment them. And nobody's going to die. Revelations 9:8. And their hair, again, I can't cover all. I just done them all together, so disregard them. I put them all on that one and didn't reduce this down. I want to do 9:11, though. I do want to do that. They had a king over them. Proverbs 30:27, locusts have no king, yet all of them go out in rank. Locusts generally move in bands, though they do not appear to be under a direction of any one in particular, a ruler or guide. In this case, they have a king, an angel. Seems to refer to the chief of the evil angels who presides over the ranks and gloomy regions from whence the locusts emerge. So think about that. The scripture says in Proverbs, locusts have no king. In this particular case, they're going to have a king. They're going to have a ruler. They're going to be led by this demonic force, this angel. So again, keep that in mind when we talk about angels. And he says they're going to have a king over them. They're going to have a leader moving them around. Revelations. We'll stop there. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still to come. Remember, we started this out with three woes, right? Because we had how many more trumpets? We had three trumpets, a woe for each one. Now the sixth trumpet. I'm going to cover some of this. I won't be able to cover all, but let's go. Let's read again. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. One saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So, again, these four angels, they're kept in reserve and they're bound. Notice that they're bound. And he says, release the four angels. Where he's releasing them in the Euphrates. Verse 15, and the four angels who have been prepared for the hour and day and month and year. I want you to understand that very important principle there. They were prepared for, watch this, the hour, the day, the month, and the year. So those angels have been prepared. They hadn't been released ever. Four angels bound, ready, poised to be released at the sixth trumpet. And they're poised for the hour, for the day, for the month, for the year. and they're going to be released. Think about that. We're talking about Almighty God. Everything is under His control and under His authority. And it's not going to happen until. When is the sixth trumpet going to sound? Not until the hour, the day, the month, and the year that's been appointed. Nothing's going to change that. You can't rush it. You can't delay it. How many understand that? You can't rush the time for the sixth trumpet. You can't rush the time for that to happen. You can't delay it. Well, God's just delaying things. No. No, no, He ain't delaying anything. There's an appointment. There's an appointed time. People think, well, God's just delaying stuff. He's waiting. He's waiting on people to get right. Don't ever believe that stuff. There's an appointment. There's a day, an hour, a month, and a year. They've been in reserve. And when that time comes, it's going to be. Do you see that? So now these angels, when they're released, so that they would kill a third of mankind. Wow. In the fifth trumpet, we didn't see that. We've seen a lot of bad stuff's going to happen in the fifth trumpet. But they'll want to die and won't die. But in this one, one third of mankind, one third of mankind is going to be killed. The number of the armies of the horsemen, watch this, you ready for this? Was 200 million. 200 million, very important. He said 200 million horsemen. 200 million. That's a lot. That's a big army. But they're going to release this. That is going to be 200 million horsemen. And this is how I saw. And this is how I saw in the vision the horses and those who sat on them. The riders had breastplates the color of fire and of, not sure what that is, and brimstone, and the heads of the horses are like the heads of lions, and out of their mouth proceeded fire and smoke and brimstone. A third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which proceeded out of their mouth. Think about it. For the power of the horse is in their mouth and in their tail, for their tails were like serpents and have heads, and with them they do harm. And the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent. You see that? Of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons and idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of the stones and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. They did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorcerers, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts. Think about it. So we're talking about a time still where people can do what? They can do what? They can repent. Oh. Wow. You mean they can repent. So this is going to be some tough times, isn't it? The sixth trumpet. Very tough times. Did they repent? He says they don't repent. They don't repent of the same activities that's still going on today. They'll still be going on then, but it'll be just escalated a whole lot more. And they don't repent. After all of that happens, they won't repent. They're going to get more angry, more. They're just going to be fighting mad. And they're going to be adamant about, we're going to do what we want. But the way I see it, it's truly getting at the heart of man. It really is. If I give in to all of that, then I deserve the punishment that comes to me, because I ain't fit for the kingdom. And I'm telling you, God's going to find the fit for the kingdom, folks. He's going to find it. Let me tell you, because we go and do some nice things every now and then, that don't qualify me to be fit for the kingdom. If I had to be, if I was put under the pressure of all these attacks and so forth, am I going to still stick with the Lord and say, God, you're God? Ain't nothing ever going to change that. You're God, and I love you. I believe that God's going to, he's going to get those who are fit for the kingdom. Now, there's a lot of destruction going on. There's a lot of devastation, a lot. But we hadn't gotten to the bad part yet. We hadn't got to the bowls yet, the vials. When the seven trumpet sounds, the first vials are going to start to open. That's how they open. And when the seven trumpet sounds, the first vial opens, that's called the wrath of God. If this ain't the wrath of God, they know you don't want to be around for the wrath of God. And guess what? You won't be. Because the seven trumpet's going to sound. And the Bible says that we're saved. We're saved from the wrath of God. Which is considered, that says last seven vows. It's considered the wrath of God. We're saved from the wrath of God. The Son saves us from the wrath of God. That's what it says in the Scripture. The Son, His Son, Jesus, saves us from the wrath of God. He's going to come and save us from the wrath of God. How many thank God He's going to save us from the wrath? We're going to go, there's going to be some tough times. Don't get me wrong. And I don't want nobody in our church to think there won't be some tough times. I don't want them to say, boy, pastor didn't tell us nothing. You know how many people are going to say, boy, they didn't tell me this. Nobody taught this in Sunday school. They're too busy talking about this and that and how pretty and nice it's going to be. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately it's always on my mind. It's great songs. But those songs were born out of somebody not being taught the Scripture correctly. And I hate to say that, because I love those tunes. I do love those tunes. But they have issues with Scripture. I love them. Sometimes when we're traveling, I do all old songs, just me and Charlotte. And I could do, there's so many of them I know. And I always say, and I start singing, I go, man, that's a good old song right there. But listen to how it just runs right slap into a verse of Scripture. Wham! And just stops it. And you go, what in the world? Because somebody, you got to be taught the Scripture. See, you wouldn't write it. You couldn't write it that way now. You see what I'm saying? And so we have to be careful. We have to be careful that we at least let people know that this is just the stuff that's going to happen. So you're not, when it all starts happening, you're not going, man, I didn't know none of this. There's going to be a lot of people. And because they didn't know a lot of it, they're going to say, well, I don't know if I believe any of it now. And they're going to go the other way. And that's going to be bad choice right there. Bad, bad choice. You don't want to go that way, because it'll be very difficult. Very, very difficult. So, let's see. Which verse I'm on? In verse 18. And a third of mankind was killed by these plagues. 19. And the power of the horses was in their mouth and their tails, and in this, like the head. And the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of their work of their hands. So it was, they worshiped, they continued doing everything they did. And it's amazing that that happened. The fact that they had been bound indicated, we talk about the angels. I got this slide up. They are not good angels. voluntarily doing God's will. In the Old Testament, many pagan armies marched to bring God's wrath upon disobedient Israel. Here we see clearly that demonic beings carry out the wrath of God. Evil is so intrinsic to demons, they are willing to destroy, even though in doing so they fulfill God's purposes. Or maybe they just do not know, as with the Assyrians and Babylonians of old. They're so bent on doing evil anyway, they had no idea they were doing the will of God. And that's how I think it's going to be in that time. Euphrates, the throne of the beast will be in this part of the world. So that was brought up. Remember we brought that up in this teaching, Euphrates. So the great river Euphrates, you ever heard that statement before? And a lot of people focus on that. And there's a valley off of this river, and that's where they believe the Battle of Armageddon, you ever heard that term, is going to take place. So the Euphrates, the throne of the beast, will be in this part of the world. His empire is called Babylon, that is located by the Euphrates. Many of the Israelite armies started in Genesis 14 have come from the other side of the Euphrates. So a lot of them, and we see that. So going back all the way in Genesis, we see some of this stuff happening. Go to Genesis 10. You don't have to turn there, but just mark these down. It's for you to read later. In the 10th chapter of Genesis, you ever heard of a fellow by the name of Nimrod? Nimrod was a descendant of Ham, founded the first kingdom of the world in this location. Okay? In this location. So Nimrod was the descendant of Ham. Ham was the son of Noah. Ham's the one uncovered Noah's nakedness. Now, you have to understand what that means. He didn't accidentally, when he was walking by, his foot caught the blanket of his father and he's seen his butt hanging out the blanket. If you read through that, people are oblivious. They think that's what happened. No. His father, Noah, drank too much wine after the water receded. He built an altar. Remember that? He built an altar. He got the promise. And he drank too much wine. There's only 8 people, so you can't blame the neighbors. You understand what I'm saying? There's 8 people. You got a fresh start here. I got to know. He got the Noah covenant was given to him. You ought to take some time to read that. It's very powerful what God did. It's amazing God didn't just kill them all. Start over, but he saved 8. He said, I'm going to show you I'm a merciful God. I'm merciful. So listen, Ham, one of Noah's sons, who has a wife, had eyes to sleep with his own father. That's bad. He uncovered his father's nakedness. That's what that means. So he has a descendant named Nimrod. Was Nimrod good? That guy right there. He was evil. But he set up an empire. All of those things linked together. In Genesis 11, in the land of Shinar, the Tower of Babel. Anybody familiar with the Tower of Babel? Remember I talked about that earlier. So you see this escalating behavior. After God destroyed the earth by water, flooded the whole thing, saved 8 people, how fast the stuff started happening again. Somebody tell me what chapter the flood came in. What chapter? Genesis what? Real quick, y'all go find. I think it's 6. Is it? Yeah. So after 6, 7 starts, there we go. So real quick like. So 10, Nimrod. 11, Shinar, Tower of Babel. 14, this was the first world war and will be the last in the future. Where this world war, first world war took place. You remember the four kings who all got together and says, we're going to come, and they come against. Remember when Lot was captured? Remember that? In the time of Abraham? Lot was captured. The first world war took place. Its stuff just was going down quick. We're not talking about, a lot of stuff was going bad. And then Zechariah 5, the last world kingdom, the beast throne will be in this location. We're all talking about this area, which is called Babylon. Remember Alexander the Great? You ever seen anything on him? Before he died young. You know that his one goal, he never got to do it, but his last thing that he was going to do was set up his headquarters, world empire, in Babylon, which is now modern day Iraq. Just so everybody knows, so you can get an idea of what we're talking about. Iraq. Now he makes the news every day. Every day Iraq makes the news. Sometimes you get tired of hearing about Iraq. Well, you're going to hear a lot about it, because that's the spot which is known as Babylon, is where the beast is going to set up his spot. Everything's going to, it's going to be something to see. The battle with Babylon and Jerusalem is going to be that great battle. Just to let you know, Babylon loses. Just to let you know. So you're not deciding, okay, who I want to go with. Babylon, Jerusalem, just letting you know. It seems that God holds these dynamic forces back until the very time he determines. Let me see. I'll give you this last one. Go to that 9:20. 9:20, the last one. Just as today, the devastating consequences of idolatry, immorality will not cause people to repent, although they are given opportunity to do so, just like in Joel and in other Old Testament records. So then, now, the same thing kind of still holds true. People won't repent of what their appetite is. The difference between what they're doing and what we should be doing. And I'm not sure the church is aligned up like we need to be aligned up with God, is we got to deny ourselves pleasure. Self-pleasure is the one element that has separated man from God from the very beginning. You're either going to want to please yourself or you're going to please God. One thing Jesus did, he said, I'd rather please the Father than to please myself. And every time he was tempted, every time he was tempted, it was always something that could have pleased him. He was hungry. He could have ate. It would have pleased him. You understand that? So every time you go back and read the accounts when he was tempted, it was all about, and he always put his self-pleasure on the side and said, I'd rather please God than please myself. And that's what made Jesus so amazing and so incredible, and the only one that can be an example for us all. So I want to tell you, the people that are here, no matter how, if you say, boy, you know, if it would just get bad, people will turn to God. You know, we had that little scare with the terror attacks, you know, in the building. You know, we had two planes go into the buildings, and people got all shook up, and, you know. That didn't move people. They had a few people cry. They were scared. People said, I thought the world was coming to end. They have no idea that is not going to be how the world's going to come to an end. It's going to be something. Imagine that same scene happening in every city in the world at the same time. Then you got something going on. Imagine that. So we're talking a different, and still with that, they still won't repent. That's how, and so God's going to find, he's going to weed out those who really for him or not. What do you think it's going to make you do? What do you think? And like I said Sunday, there's some things in us is not going to allow, not permitted in the kingdom. And we better start digging. You shouldn't make the pastor take his spiritual hoe out every Sunday and try to break through the fallow ground and try to dig up the weeds. That'll be our jobs, independent of the Sunday service. Sunday service ought to be all what we worked on all week coming together so we can honor and praise God and be a good example to everybody. We should, all week, we should, and how do I do that? I get my Bible and I start reading, and it's hoeing up some things. It's getting rid of, because it's not going to be allowed in the kingdom. It's not going to be allowed. I can tell you that. But we see churches so structured all kind of crazy ways. You know, it's like you need to come to our service because we're having deliverance. And so how somebody's going to get it, it's going to happen for them. Some miraculous thing's going to happen. Well, I'm not saying that they don't have a few things that happens in some cases. But then it's so magnified to the point that it exploits the scripture. It exploits people, draws a lot of people in, only to set them up for failure. It's absolutely crazy. It's not preparing them for the time that we need to be prepared for. We gotta tell people the truth. Give them the truth. This is what God's word says. Do you want to be in the kingdom or not? Do you want to make it or not? Because I'm telling you, if you're on the other side, if you're in this battle with Babylon and Jerusalem, you're in this war, it's going to be hot. It's going to be heavy. If you're on the side of Babylon, you lose. That's what the Bible says. Tell people that. Why don't we tell people that? You know, because what are we afraid of? I can tell you, if every pastor got up next Sunday and just said the truth of what God's word said, half their church would leave them. On the spot, they'd leave them. They'd walk out on them and say, I ain't coming back over here. You hurt my feelings. They would. That's exactly what would happen. That ain't going to happen here. Would it happen here? No, because I hurt people's feelings every Sunday. Everybody's used of it. So we wouldn't have that happen here. But listen, we're supposed to tell the truth, right? We're supposed to tell people that. You know, if somebody comes to you and say, you know, do I have something on my face? And you see it on their face. I mean, like they might have a booger right there. And they say, is anything on my face? You go, uh-uh. You good. Everything's good. You look. And you send them off, you know. That wouldn't be right. You wouldn't do that to nobody. Am I good? You good. No, you wouldn't do that. What's the same? It's amazing how we send. Why would we send folks home when we know stuff's wrong? If it's wrong, we ought to say, you know what, it's wrong. And listen, just because you're saying it's wrong today doesn't mean that you might be the one that's being told it's wrong the next day. Listen, here's the thing that we have to understand this. It's like the Titanic. It's sinking. You don't go tell the person, just change seats, it'll be all right. You understand what I'm saying? No, it's going down. You understand that? But this is how the church is. Oh, just sit over here. I don't care if you sit there. That's sinking. Get up and tell somebody it's sinking. But that's what the church is set up. Oh, for y'all? This way. I know that lobby's leaning a little bit, but come over here. You sit right here, and we don't do things like that over here. It's sinking. You don't buy into that stuff. The Titanic is sinking, and people want to just switch seats. I know it's a little uncomfortable there. I know your wine just spilt, but over here it's not leaning as bad. We got to get over that. You understand what I'm saying? We better get up, and that's why it ain't popular. That's why folks get all uptight. They hear stuff like this, they get all uptight. But I'm going to tell you, the thing's sinking. We ought to be telling people it's sinking. Don't go around telling them it's okay. We're still on the strongest ship in the world. Yeah, it's got a big gaping hole in it where the iceberg come through. Yeah, you can paint, you know, over there. And you know, you ever seen a movie? The guys are still over there playing. And they slide, and you know, the chairs slide. And that's how I feel like this is happening with the church world today. Are you kidding me? What are you playing music for? You know, the whole thing sliding, that's steady playing. Who wants to hear the violin play? Give my life jacket. I need somebody, and that's what, and this is God. God said, put the life jacket on. Oh, I think it's going to be all right. It's going to stable out at any time now. No, no, God said, put the life jacket. I gave Jesus to you. Put him on. Put on Christ. 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 I know I'm supposed to be teaching tonight, but I got a little excited. I'm sorry. All right. Whew. This is from this week, just going over some things this week. Man. So anyway, I was trying not to do it, but I did it anyway. So how many want to help somebody? Yeah. Tell them the ship is sinking. Don't lie to nobody. Don't tell them move over to the next dining hall. It's over. This nothing's going to keep this boat up. Do you understand that? But we got to have Jesus. We better put him on every day. And I don't care what happens around you. If you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. I'm going with God on this one. People can go whatever they want. I'm going with God on this one. Oh, you hear what I'm saying? 1,000 may fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. But if you're not wicked, if you're not acting up, God will protect you when all the stuff's happening. So I'm not worrying about him opening up the abyss. Go on, open it up. That just tells me one thing. I am in a very sharp step. When I see my Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when that seven trumpet blows, boom, there he comes. Nothing's going to stop him. And it's going to be amazing. So the battle's going to rage. It's going to be something. There's going to be a lot of people. They're going to stand against one another. And they got all this ridiculous stuff on TV. If you ever watch some of the stuff on TV on the History Channel and all that, they're trying to figure out God versus the devil. Just the truth. And on a computer and all, they show all these little, you know, videos and all this stuff. And then they talk to these people and they got names by their name, you know, Professor so-and-so. Professor? Most of all our professors are atheists. Are you kidding me? What are you talking to him for? He don't even believe there is a God. And he's telling, yeah, God's going to, okay, I thought you said there was no God. Yeah, but it's a make-believe God I'm talking about. Yeah, really. No, but they won't talk to nobody else about it. But they're very selective on them. You ever notice that? They had one on the other night. They have so-and-so's name. Yeah, who is this guy? Put me a preacher on there. Put me somebody who can deliver the word of God. Speak the truth. If I get on there and I tell them this ship's going down, they're going to say, oh, cut, cut, take him off. So anyway, I don't know. Anybody have any questions?